Hey, Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast with my co-host Evan Damerel and Locked On Hawks host Brad Rowland. On today, it's a little Locked On Cavs, Locked On Hawks crossover today. We're diving into Jared Allen perhaps being back, the Hawks being favorites in segment one, segment two, X-Factors and keys for the Cavs, and segment three, X-Factors and keys for the Hawks. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
Chris Manning here covering the cast for Diamond Uprocks. Brad also covers the NBA for Diamond Uprocks. And Evan is at Facebook's Right to Euclid as well as SB Nation's for this word where I am as well. Guys, I think the only place to start is that Jared Allen is listed as questionable. He will apparently try to play Friday. He has not played since March 6th when he broke his finger against the Raptors. Since then, the Cavs are 7-11, 7-12 if you include the play-in loss to Brooklyn. Over that stretch, they have the league's 23rd best defense, the 20th ranked offense, and the 20th best net rating. Allen's been great all year, all of that stuff. Evan, from a Cavs perspective, what does Jared Allen perhaps returning mean?
Well, I mean, it shows all the Twitter medical experts right that after 20 games off, he was more than available to play. But more than anything, I think just the fact that this is going to be a pretty juiced crowd tomorrow. Cleveland is a sports city, as we know. The Guardians are opening up next door. There's probably going to be some overflow. I think the game for the Cavs is sold out, and I think they're going to be kind of electric in this one. And the team will feed off of that quite a bit. But if even if Allen's at 80% of his ability, that is a presence to kind of slow down Clint Capella, kind of wall off Trae Young if he's attacking the basket in pick and roll scenarios. And it'll also give the Cavs a little bit of a shot in the arm as well, because defensively, Jared Allen at least will mask some things for the Cavs, maybe not the fullest of his extent just because of the injury. But it's a promising return. Do you have any thoughts on it, Chuck or Reno?
You're in weird shit already, bud. Look, I just am skeptical of what we're going to see from Jared Allen. This is a guy who hasn't played in a month. This is a guy who JB Bickerstaff has kind of gone out of his way to say, like, hey, like, he hasn't done 5-on-5. He's been doing very controlled stuff with coaches. We have no idea what you're getting for Jared Allen. I am concerned.
Not in the slightest.
I am concerned for him.
I think you know what you're getting. I just don't know how much of it you're getting.
Well, like, I mean, like, if Jared Allen's hand is still not comfortable enough where he's in a lot of pain and can't, like, catch a basketball and block shots with his hand, like, that seems suboptimal for, like, a guy whose job is going to be to block Clint Capella at the rim and, like, dunk the ball and lobs from Darius Garland.
What he should do is there's a kid I played middle school football with named Clay. I'll leave his last name out to not dox him, but he broke his hand in practice one day, and he literally wrapped up the cast, and he looked like he had a giant club on his arm and used that as a weapon. I think this is a golden opportunity, Chris.
Okay. Brad, you look at this game. The Hawks come in as the last time we've seen the line, 2-point favorite. Started at 1.5, was up at 2.5 at its highest. Does Jared Allen, in your mind, change how you feel about what this game may or may not be?
I think definitely. I mean, the question, of course, like you guys just said, is what he actually looks like, how much he can play, how rusty he is, can he catch the ball? But, you know, defensively, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't already know. It's a different team with Jared Allen. And I think that's I'm a lot more afraid if I'm the Hawks if Jared Allen is even like 80% of himself, just because of the matchups and the way that they might be able to guard Atlanta if he's playing versus when he's not. And I think that, you know, the element of mystery is also a little bit challenging. Not that the Hawks are going to change everything about their game plan, but if they were to try to craft a game plan, it's going to be hard to do that now because you have to prepare for two different scenarios on fairly short rest, only one day in between. You're preparing for the eventuality of a Kevin Love, Lauri Markkanen duo versus Jared Allen. It's a very different preparation, especially because Kevin Love kind of owns the Hawks too, which is a little bit of a sneaky thing. So I'm certainly more afraid now than I was a couple days ago if I'm the Hawks.
I looked at the game against the Hornets, and it's like, this is like not a new weakness for the Hornets, but it's like they did not have anyone that could really like stop Capella from rolling, stop Capella from doing Clint Capella things.
No one whatsoever. Literally no one.
literally no resistance there. And Allen, like, if he's going to be close to what he was, can even play 20 effective minutes or something, that's like a really big deal in combating Capella. It also gets the Cavs back to defensively, I think, in theory, like what they would like to do. Their defense just, again, has not been nearly as good as on the year. It's still like the fifth best defense in terms of net rating. It is like a bottom third of the league defense since Jared Allen has been out. Their scheme has been based on him being a back wall and also switching when necessary. And like, you're going to, we'll get to how the Cavs perhaps are going to defend Trae Young and some of the ways they might do that. But like, switching onto Trae can be dicey. But like, if you're going to have to do with bigs, Mobley and Allen's like kind of the two guys you would probably want to try it with. And secondly, Brad, I know you've been hammering this point a lot on Locked On Hawks. Can you just explain to people like how good Clint Capella has been the last couple of months? Because I know he's hit a level that he maybe wasn't at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, he's basically been the guy he was last year, which I thought was like a stealth all defense candidate. Like, that's how good he was last year, like a top, I don't know, 30-40 player in the league. That's how good he was. And this year's kind of a slow start. Like, he had an Achilles thing coming out of the offseason, and they had a very short offseason because of the long run that they made, so he was not quite himself early on. And people noticed that, and I think they were right to a certain extent. I think it was probably a little bit overstated, but he's been really good for 2 or 3 months. And, you know, going back to the Allen point and what you said about the Hornets, like, last night, or I guess Wednesday night as we're recording this, was about the easiest matchup in the world for the Hawks on the interior because Charlotte just had absolutely nothing. And, you know, if Allen's not there, Mobley can probably handle a little bit of stuff with regard to Clint Capella, but especially on the glass, Capella is arguably the best rebounder in the league. He's certainly on the top 5 rebounders in the league, and he can make a huge imprint there. And then defensively, he's always fantastic. Like, he's been rim protecting and rebounding and flying around. He's the captain of the defense, all that stuff. So they're just different with him playing like this, and I think that's probably one of the keys to the Hawks being hotter in the second half of the season is that he's been, you know, a level or two up.
Let's end on this in this first segment, guys. Again, BetOnline has the Hawks as 2-point favorites. Do you guys feel like Atlanta should be the favorite? I want to start with Evan. Should Atlanta be the favorite here? And is there a, well, if there was a case for Cleveland to be the favorite in this game, what would you have that as?
I don't disagree with the line. It was Atlanta by 3 earlier in the day. I think before the Allen news dropped, especially when Shams Charania, Adrian Wojnarowski, and others kind of said he might be a game time decision at that point, but I don't disagree with it because you got to give the Hawks the benefit of the doubt. Like Brad said, Clint Capella is an absolute monster on the defensive side of the ball. He is a monster on offense for Atlanta. He can kind of wreak havoc on the interior for Cleveland, who has next to no interior presence right now without Jared Allen. And also, Trae Young is a superstar. So you have to give them the benefit of the doubt on that. And also, they did make the East Finals last year, and you need to respect that as well. And the Cavs are still kind of unproven, and they really dropped the ball in the first quarter against the Nets. So I understand why maybe outsiders are down on the Cavs, but internally, like, I think they have a puncher's chance in this one.
Brad, how do you feel?
Yeah, I think that's all about right. I mean, I think just objective, like, team quality, roster quality, I think the Hawks are the better team right now, particularly when you factor in the uncertainty with Allen. Having the best player in the game with Trae is a big factor, and that's not even disrespect to Darius Garland, who's really good as well, but Trae is probably a little beyond that at this point. And I think that, you know, they've also been here in a way that this Cavs team has not been here. I think that can be overrated sometimes, to be honest, and that it could be like this huge talking point, but I think the Hawks are not going to be afraid of going on the road in this game. On the flip side, and we'll get into this later on, I'm sure, the Hawks have been pretty bad on the road for like 3 months now, so that's the one maybe positive thing if you're a Cavs fan, is that you have this game at home. If this game was in Atlanta, Atlanta would be a pretty solid favorite in my mind, but the fact that it's in Cleveland is certainly going to level the playing field a little bit.
I think Atlanta's the right favorite in this game. I think I look at how this game, the different ways these teams could win, to me it feels like Atlanta has maybe a couple more avenues to a victory. I think Cleveland kind of has to have like a good defensive performance and like just get just enough offense, where if Atlanta gets going on offense and Trae Young in particular doesn't play at the level he did, like he didn't have a good scoring game against Charlotte. If he has a good scoring game and like everything else kind of goes the same similar way, even if Allen is back and makes some kind of impact, I think Cleveland's path to victory here is a little bit tricky. Just as of note, the Hawks did win the season series, including when on March 31st when Allen was out. So that's where things stand. Again, Jared Allen is questionable. We'll try to play. It seems like he's still dealing with pain in his finger. Notably, I would just because I'm me and I feel like it's worth noting these things, the Cavs have not been particularly transparent about some of this compared to, let's say, how Michael Malone is talking about Jamal Murray or the Warriors talking about Steph Curry. JB's playing things very close to the vest. We have not I have a lot of questions for Jared Allen himself that I would like to kind of know how he feels about his finger. He has not been around of late. So we'll get into some Cavs X factors and keys to victory after the break here. But first, gonna tell everyone about our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online, as everyone knows, is the official betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network, and they have all the latest sports developments, including last week's Masters. They have podcast reviews in all the different leagues around the world, including like Argentinian basketball for some reason. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. For instance, the Cavs are 2-point underdogs against the Hawks in Friday's game. Maybe you feel the Hawks are going to win. They're going to cover. Easy. Maybe you feel like the Cavs are actually going to win. You're going to pick them. And look, maybe Jared Allen, if he does play, has an impact on that in some way. So that's worth keeping an eye on. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. You can bet on like the Lakers head coach, I guess, if you want to. Throw some money on Mark Jackson if you're a sicko like that. That's BetOnline. That's where the game starts. And we thank them for sponsoring the show. All right, back here on this Locked On Cavs, Locked On Hawks crossover. I'm Chris. That's Evan. We got Brad Rowland from Locked On Hawks here. Evan, I want to ask you, as far as Cavs X factors goes, who is at the top of your list?
I really think Isaac Okoro is kind of the biggest X factor here. You want to see?
Let's go,
Atlanta Zone, by the way. Atlanta Zone,
Atlanta Zone.
Isaac Okoro. But you have to see how GB Bickerstaff utilizes him. I was asked a question about this in the Write Down Euclid mailbag, but if you want a key to success, do you match Trey Young's minutes with Isaac Okoro just to kind of have like a defensive stopper on Young a little bit? I think it's going to be easier said than done to stop a superstar like that if you're Cleveland, but it's definitely worth a shot at the end. And maybe just him, and then also on offense as well. Like, he was a non-factor against Brooklyn. You need to get a little bit of something out of Isaac, whether it's through cutting, Chris Mannix's favorite, or maybe just getting him some good looks on the perimeter as well.
Yeah, he did brick two open threes in that game, played 13 minutes against the Nets. And notably, we saw Rajon Rondo, who Brad knows very well. And him and I have, he's like, Chris, you're having the same experience I had with Rondo. And it was interesting to talk about that. I think it's Okoro as well. I think if you look at how you're going to defend Trey, I don't suspect the Cavs are going to trap him aggressively like some teams have done. That has never really been what they've done defensively. And as I've learned from listening to Locked On Hawks and talking to Brad, the Hawks kind of built a roster to like deal with the traps and let Trey's best skill, his passing, like do the work around the trap. So I don't suspect the Cavs will do that. I think you'll see some of the zone with Mobley either roaming or at the top of the key at times. Allen, I think certainly, again, if he's healthy, it'll be much different. You'll feel better about some of this if he's your backline at the rim against Capella and Okongwu versus like Lauri Markkanen back there, where Markkanen kind of had some real issues with that against the Nets. I just look at Okoro. He's the point of attack guy on the team. Rondo's just not up to defending Trey. And Okoro has to like do enough offensively to make this worth it. But like, and he's not going to shut down Trey, but he is your best chance to, I think, make Trey really work for his points. And I just cannot see, Brad, the Cavs winning this game unless they have a defensive performance that is at least decent. Unless this defensive performance from Cleveland is at least like adequate and they don't have to get in a shootout of any kind, I just don't really know how they win this game. And Okoro is going to be a part of that in my mind.
Yeah, I think that aside from Allen, who's like the very obvious X factor in this game and that we don't know anything about him, I think Okoro is a perfectly reasonable pick, just because they have to have somebody that can bother Trey a little bit. You mentioned the blitzing. Like, I know why Charlotte did that. It was not successful at all. And the thing about the Hawks now is that Trey's been playing at this level for so long that he's now seen basically every coverage that he can see, and it's not going to be a surprise to him anymore. I can't imagine Cleveland's going to try something they don't normally do either in this spot. So I think Okoro being the primary makes a lot of sense, and I think he won't necessarily bother Trey too much, but he's got the best chance at doing it. Beyond that, I know I mentioned Kevin Love before, but I think Kevin Love is a guy who could be an X factor in this game, not because of his defense. Obviously, you talk about defense, and I agree with you overall, Chris, that the Cavs are going to have to win this game by keeping the Hawks in check on that end of the floor. But I think really the big thing, if I'd be worried if I'm the Hawks, is their own defense, and that means, of course, Garland being the number one thing to slow down. But Love, as a guy who, you know, notoriously has kind of bit on the Hawks a little bit, I think he's averaging 19 a game against them this year, shooting well from three, and they're spacing the floor, trying to get Capella away from the rim as well, especially if Allen's not out there or if Allen's not available at the end of the day. That means more Love, and particularly if you can get Capella to leave the rim, then the Hawks don't have a lot of supporting pieces to protect the rim, and that sort of space can be created by Garland, and it kind of has a chain effect. So I think you're right to say the defense is the most important thing here for the Cavs, because offensively they have a pretty juicy matchup against this Hawks team. But to throw a curveball at you, I will say Kevin Love is a pretty big one for me.
Brett, how? Yeah.
I like that pickup, though. Like, that's not a bad pick. Like, Kevin Love could be a bit of an X factor, because if Isaac Okoro is non-existent and you're leading on Rajon Rondo and Kevin Love like you did against Brooklyn, it could be
Rondo a revenge just, like, game, need... folks. Rondo revenge game.
He did say that he's like, I was with Trey for a few months. I know what he's about and what he's trying to do, because somebody asked him about blitzing on high pick and rolls and like how the Hawks like utilize that. And Rondo's like, no, you don't do work. That against the Hawks. And I'm like, okay, yeah. at least he
Look, Rondo, for all of his words, like, you, I like understand. It's not surprising to me that JB was like, yes, this is the time I'm going to try to play Rondo 30 minutes and play him with DG in like this sort of moment, even though we hadn't seen it. But how do the Hawks go? I want to ask about Darius for a second.
Yeah.
How do the Hawks go about defending a point guard who plays the way Darius does? Like, what can Cavs fans expect to see the Hawks perhaps throw at Garland in this game?
Yeah, it's one of the weaknesses of this team, actually, is that point of attack defense. In fact, I was arguing for most of the season, I think I probably still would, and that is the Hawks' number one weakness this year as a team, is just stopping point of attack guys, and Garland being excellent as he is in a pick and roll. And you know, obviously they can't just put Trey on him. It's not going to be a one-on-one matchup. They're going to have to put somebody else on him. It's been Kevin Huerter a lot. And Huerter is, I think, an underrated defender, but not someone who's going to be this like dominant on ball guy. He guarded LaMelo Ball pretty well, actually, on Wednesday. He'll probably start on Garland as the primary. And while Capella's awesome, he's kind of limited too, and that he's not going to be switching. He's not going to be playing out on the floor too much. He's mostly a drop guy, and that's what Garland would probably love to see in this matchup. So that's honestly number one concern of the entire game for the Hawks, is probably slowing Garland and not letting Garland do whatever he wants in this game. I don't know if they can actually do it, but I think it's going to be Huerter. I think you'll probably see DeLon Wright when he's playing, because he's actually probably their best perimeter defender at the moment. And then if they get in a bind, they might throw DeAndre Hunter on him just for some more size to see if that bothers Garland at all, because Hunter, while he plays a lot of three and even some four now for the Hawks, has been their lead guard defender at times when he's been able to do that. Without Collins, less so, because they've had to play him more in big roles, but I think Garland's going to see a lot of different guys and a lot of different coverages, and we'll see if the Hawks can pull it off. But Capella being a little bit limited there, maybe Kongwu is just as an X factor. Kongwu is more of the like out on the floor guy. Like, he's a 6'8 center, and he could be more useful if they want to trap and kind of bother him that way.
I really like Kongwu.
Me too.
I really, really like Kongwu. He's kind of become very good.
Kevin Porter
Jr. He was so close to being a Cav, wasn't he?
KPJ apparently went to the front office and said, you need to draft my guy.
I also in the in
and they politely laughed and
in that draft we did like mocks for the sword and stuff, and I was like, take Okwangu, you need a center, and then lo and behold, they get Evan Mobley and Jared Allen and things.
But like, I think it worked out for everyone. I'm a big fan of Okongwu, and I don't think the Cavs need him now because of the way that this is all gone with Allen and Mobley. So we'll call it even, yes. I guess.
Yes. And look, just to say it again, Jared Allen, what he looks like if he plays, how much he plays. That is really like the variable that we just can't predict. Like, we can look at Okoro, we can look at how Garland might play, how Atlanta might defend him, Kevin Love, all that stuff, and kind of, I think, quantify it to some degree. I have generally no idea what to expect from Jared Allen. I like looking on Twitter when the news broke today. People were like so excited, and I'm just like, guys, I don't know what to expect here.
I understand the excitement because you haven't seen him in nearly 20 games. But I agree with you, Chris. Like, I don't know what to expect. I have heard he's like maybe 80% is the maximum of his ability, which is still pretty good. The Cavs are now 80% better defensively, especially on the interior now, and. But at the same time, if he gets banged around a few times, is his finger going to bother him enough that he kind of stops trying on defense as hard? Or maybe, like, I don't know. It's going to be an issue. And then let's say the Cavs beat the Hawks. It's going to be a continued issue and they go play Miami on
Sunday.
There's
just a lot.
Uncertainty is that. I mean, it's just uncertainty because I had the same sort of thought process. You know, John Collins. Yeah. There were some rumblings that he could be upgraded for this game. He's not, by the way. He's gonna be out. But same thing. He hasn't played in a month, and people were asking me like, "Look, I have no idea if he does play, and now he's not going to. Like, what he could look as." You can't know unless you see a guy, and Collins, like Allen, has not played any 5-on-5 at all. It's a very similar situation, other than Allen might actually play, and Collins is not gonna. But we'd all be guessing. Anybody that thinks that they know what they're going to get from Jared Allen that's not in that practice, good luck.
This is the last Jared Allen thing I'll say. I just want to emphasize these kind of dual points. Number one, I think people forget sometimes how little NBA teams actually get to practice. They don't practice like at all. They barely get like full go stuff. And then when they do, it's like kind of almost sometimes I feel like for the fact of getting guys up to speed and getting them through some workouts. As far as Jared Allen goes, it was very striking to me how many times in the last week he's been asked about it. JB Bickerstaff has kind of went out of his way to say like he's only really done stuff with coaches and walkthroughs and stuff and not like an actual practice.
And he's just said a lot like he's progressing. That's just basically JB's answer for the last
month.
But at the same time, I understand why you don't set expectations because then it puts the onus of public pressure. But if the team was able to stay above water and not have this dramatic of a slide, I don't think there'd be this much like hand wringing over his availability.
Also, just keep it honest, and like things are usually a little bit better in my mind.
He does keep it honest though. If you press enough, like he said, he practices the side. He practices with coaches. We watched him in games, Chris. He's just getting shots up on a one-on-one scenario where the coach is maybe playing 5% defense.
Transparency is everyone's friend. Okay, after the break, look, Evan, you know, go. I have. Look,
to Chris.
If slash when the Cavs don't do exit interviews at the end of the year, you know who's going to be annoyed? This guy. All right. After the break, we're going to talk about some Hawks X factors and everything Brad's going to be looking for in this game from the Locked On Hawks perspective. But Evan, first, got to tell everyone about our friends at Built Bar. Brad, do you have a favorite Built Bar flavor?
Ooh, I've changed this like 100 times. I like the all the chocolate chip ones are all good, like cookie dough. All those little like chocolate variations are my favorite. Although one curveball is lemon almond cheesecake. Love that one.
Bomb. Ooh. Look, Built Bars are the best seasoning for us out there. I agree, cookie dough is great. Cookies and cream is great. They just brought back peanut butter, which when they sent us that originally was pretty darn good. These are the healthiest protein bars out there. Most of them contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Look, there's great flavors. Mint brownie, coconut almond, cookies and cream. When they have cookie dough, you got to get that. They have blueberry muffin right now. Like, you can't really go wrong. They put the taste first. They make everything taste delicious, and then they figure out how to make it healthy. And I don't know how, but they do it every time. And they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Yes, that includes their puffs. You can't really beat Built Bar. So go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off of your order. Again, that promo code for great flavors like mint brownie, coconut, cookies and cream, and all of their new ones that they're dropping. Use that promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Evan, why don't you also tell everyone about our friends at Rock Auto.
Your sure thing, man. This episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible for your local chain auto store to stock all the parts you need. Why are often pointless with seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And if you're interested, go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box scenario that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
All right, back here, Locked On Cavs, Locked On Hawks crossover. We're covering some Hawks keys and X factors. So Brad, where do you want to start? What are some keys to Atlanta winning this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a secret the Hawks have been pretty bad defensively for most of the season, and I think that's the area of the floor you have to worry about. And I've kind of circled not letting Garland beat them. Now that's very sort of easier said than done, because Garland is obviously the sun, moon, and stars for the offense for Cleveland. That's not like I'm breaking news there, but I think that if they can just not give up a ton of threes off of that as well, it's basically either let Garland score, and I say let, obviously let him, or at least make him try to beat you as a scorer or beat you as a passer and not both. That'd be what I would say. Like, do not let him get wherever he wants to the entire way, whether that be Herter getting in front of him, bothering him with length, not breaking down on the backside. Some of the rotation issues that the Hawks have been having have been better recently, but giving up open threes to Love and Markkanen and even LeVert would be bad in this game, just because that's variance. If you're the Hawks and you think that you're the better team, I'm sure they do think that in this game, giving up a bunch of three-point attempts that are open is a quick way to give away your advantage everywhere else. So that's my number one thing, is basically point-up attack defense. And as a sneaky curveball defensively, also Capella has been awesome, but he can't play 48 minutes, and he won't play 48 minutes. And I love Okongwu, but when Capella leaves the floor, there's still a drop-off pretty much everywhere defensively. Okongwu is more mobile, but every other box is checked by Capella, and particularly the defensive glass. So if Allen plays, especially, or if they go big with that sort of the three big lineups, the Hawks have a tendency to break down on the glass when Capella sits, and that could be a vulnerable spot for them.
Evan, and as far as the Cavs attacking some of what Brad is outlining there, what stands out to you?
I mean, like Brad said, point of attack defense on the Hawks side of things is going to be a struggle for them. I agree with this assessment that's one of the Atlanta's biggest weaknesses. If you're Cleveland, you're probably looking to exploit that by prying defenders off Darius Garland. I think avoiding maybe what the Nets did to like Bruce Brown, or what the Bucks have done with Drew Holiday, or the Heat with Jimmy Butler, like just obviously elite perimeter defenders and point of attack defenders. If you pry those off Darius and kind of make his life easier and get him comfortable, it's going to maybe be a little easier for the Cavs to stay in the race at times with Atlanta. But if you're asking me for a straight up X factor, I think Atlanta's shooters in general are an X factor, because Chris, you can disagree with me if you want, but the Cavs aren't a great perimeter defense team. There's only so much Isaac Okoro can do. There's only so much Lamar Stevens can do. You're forcing Larry Markkanen onto switches. You're forcing Evan Mobley, who at times looks comfortable, but he's still a rookie. Jared Allen's the same way. Darius Garland's not ideal on the perimeter. He's a good positional defender, but like he can get carved up in pick and rolls and things like that. And the Hawks could really eat the Cavs alive from their inside out game, because they could make defenses collapse on Trey, and Trey can just kick it out to a shooter on the edge, and the Cavs can't recover.
The thing about this that I find interesting is that if there's ever a game where Larry Markkanen maybe can't have some of the issues we've seen him play, if Jared Allen can't go, and even if Jared can't go, there's not the apex like wing scorer on the wing here for Atlanta.
I'm just thinking like you're telling Larry Markkanen to have his come to Jesus moment about his defensive capabilities now.
If I was professionally,
you need to start caring about defense.
Well, it's not. No, if I was going to have a come to Jesus moment with Lowry and JB as like a duo, I'd be like, guys, can we stop these post ups with Lowry against guards? Like, they don't work. You don't even make the entry pass as well. He doesn't like use. He doesn't get off good shots. Like, it's like, okay, wasted possession. Like in my notes, it's like, your this just went off the rails. Like, guys, what are we doing
NSFW
here? Well, yeah, just we're in the playoffs. Went to one Cavs game with my dad very early in the year. He was out on marketing within like 5 minutes, just hysterically, just like, he's not good. I don't like this guy. Like, I don't know if he's still just, he's just out.
If you don't pass the dead eye test, you're pretty much donezo.
Yeah, this is me and Bill Simmons' dad's just out here. The Cavs for the year in terms of the number of shots given up from three, they're like about league average in terms of the amount of threes they give up. Like, it's not something they're like going out of their way to like rush and take away, but they're also not like just giving them away a la like Sacramento, Portland, Indiana, and Chicago have kind of done. Atlanta actually gives up a lot of threes, which is kind of interesting considering, like, will the Cavs just try to like use Larry, like the Cavs' ways to get threes is like, we're gonna have Larry Markkanen and pop, we're gonna have Kevin Love do his one Kevin Love thing where he pump fakes and steps to the side.
The second best 3-point shooting team in the league. That's what I'm trying to get.
Well, and that's
no, but I'm saying defensively they give up a lot of threes.
Yeah, one of the reasons I'm worried about Kevin Love is exactly that. And also, you know, the Hawks are, like you just said, the Hawks are awesome at shooting threes and making them, but they don't take a lot. They're actually below average in attempts per game. They're like league average in 3-point attempt rate. And I've come and say that all year long. Like, the Hawks should take more threes than they do. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case in this game. You talked about the absence of that like apex wing. The Hawks don't really have that. Bogdanović has been playing really well. He is questionable with the ankle injury, so we'll see if that's limiting him at all. But he's been, I won't say a star level player, but in the second half of the season, both last year and this year, he's been like a 20-point-a-game scorer, like a fringe, like star-ish kind of offensive player. I'm not saying he's quite on that level, but I think he's the X factor in terms of like beyond Trey offensively for Atlanta. If there's one more guy on offense, it's probably Bogdanović, because he's their number two. When Trey's off the floor, he becomes their number one. He plays off Trey very well. I think if watching from the Cavs side, if Bogey has 15 points in the first half or something like that, you're probably in some trouble if you're the Cavs, because that means that he's loose and Trey's probably doing Trey stuff, and then it gets off the rails. The easiest way to slow the Hawks, and I say this is, it's not easy, but is to not let Bogdanovich beat you, I think, because Trey is probably going to beat you, just no matter what. You have to assume that Trey's going to get his, and what you can't have is a number two guy or number three guy go off and get 22 points, whether it be Gallinari or Bogdanovich making threes and taking threes, because Bogey's also the most aggressive three-point shooter. And after all we just said, like, the Hawks are awesome at making threes. They just don't take that many. And I'll be interested to see how many they take, because if they take 40 threes in this game, I love that for the Hawks.
That's
I would
my
fear that
as well.
For the Cavs.
Plus, with Trae Young being the best player on the floor for either team, I wonder if maybe a little bit of that villain side of his, he might want to kill the Cavs and just kind of have one of those career nights.
Oh, I'm confident Trae on national TV on the road is going to enjoy himself. Now, whether he shoots the ball great is the other question. And I've said this a lot recently. I was kind of proven wrong against Charlotte, not wrong, but maybe a little bit wrong at Charlotte. And like I've been saying, look, the Hawks rely on him so much that in a one-game scenario, if he has a bad game, the Hawks are in some trouble. I'll say that. If he's bad or bad-ish in Cleveland, the playing field is now level or tilted towards Cleveland. So there is some variance there. Obviously, you're happy to have Trae Young, but he's not someone that's going to stop shooting. So if he doesn't have it, he's going to press a little bit. That's his tendency, is to press a little bit. And we saw that even in the Charlotte game. It didn't matter because the Hornets were just impeccably bad defensively. It was actually like a masterclass of bad. But Trae will keep shooting, whether he has it or not. So that's one little X factor, is that if they're having success, he can shoot you out of it as much as he can shoot you into it too. So we'll see.
Brad, let's actually want to end on that. So Young had 24 and 11 against just three turnovers in the game against Charlotte.
On 28 possessions, I believe, as well.
Yes. Yeah. 8 of 24 from the field. 1 of 7 from three, 7 of 8 from the line. Was there something Charlotte did that threw that gave him a weird look? Was it just an off? Like, is there anything that Cleveland, if Cleveland's going to crunch the tape on that game, that they can say, okay, we're going to try this and throw it at Trae in our do or die game here?
I don't think it was that replicable, just because the Hornets, it didn't work. But the Hornets threw their bag of tricks at him, mostly on blitzes, and the way that we talked about earlier, the Cavs probably are not going to do, like flying their bigs way up to the level, using Plumlee, using PJ Washington to trap, all this stuff. And I thought Trae just kept shooting in a way that he didn't need to, and I noted that on the podcast. Like, it became very clear early in that game that the Hawks could do whatever they wanted to when he passed. They were getting open three after layup and whatever, but like I said before, Trae has this tendency to where he thinks he has to shoot, and he didn't need to shoot in that game really at all. And he still took 24 shots, sometimes through doubles, and some of it was just a bad game too. So like, I don't think he played that badly, but there were some hints in there about him just like, I feel like I have to go out and score 30. There's this mindset of Trae where he thinks he's going to have to score. And I do think though, in this game, it's a more comfortable matchup for him because the Cavs play some drop, and they're playing a little bit more traditional defense, and I think that's where Trae eats, unfortunately, if you're the Cavs, is that the Cavs are good on defense, especially if Allen plays, they're a good defense. But Trae will be even more comfortable in this matchup almost than he was against Charlotte, even though the Cavs are much better defense.
I cannot wait
than
for Trae Young to exploit Larry Markkanen if Jared Allen doesn't play.
Even if Allen plays, like, no disrespect to those guys, but like if you're playing drop against Trae with really anyone, you're not going to stop him. Like he gets whatever he wants against drop. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs. Joel Embiid is a superhuman, and Trae did anything he wanted to against Joel Embiid most of the series. So it's just like, you can't contain him anyway. You just have to hope that he's either having missing shots or he's passing and nobody else is making shots. Those are your two options to stop Trae Young, basically.
Yeah, I can't wait for this. It's going to be a bonkers night in Cleveland, Ohio, because the Guardians home opener, Cavs tip off 30 minutes later. Ooh. Probably beat some weirdos wearing brown jerseys anyway.
Be safe, guys.
look, I'm excited. It has not been a dual sports night like this, I think, in a long time. I mean, I remember like the when the Cavs got there, it was like a world. This is not nearly the same level, but the Cavs. Well, yeah, they couldn't play them at the same time, and they switched the court at Rockets. But the Cavs, there was a World Series game the same night the Cavs got their rings, and it was like insane navigating downtown. And I think this will be not quite that, obviously, but it'll have some pop.
Very similar to James Borrego, Hornets head coach, accusing the Hawks of planting a train on the tracks, making them walk to the game yesterday. That actually happened.
Gotta tell you, when I saw, I did not know about the train thing until I got on the Dime Slack, and then was like going back and reading about it. And I'm just like, James Borrego thinks Trae Young is just actively like messing up the train schedule.
Me and the Hornets had the same walk to the arena yesterday. because nobody could get in. It was incredible. But
tough stuff.
I guess I'd choose the two-sport night over that if I had to choose.
Yeah, that's fair. Evan, any final thoughts before we hit eject here?
Not really.
Predictions? I need predictions, fellas. You gotta give me predictions.
I was gonna try to gonna Irish exit my way out of a prediction.
Absolutely not.
Same. I was just going to say support Ukraine if you can, but my prediction, what'd you say? Oh, jeez, Chris.
Evan does one thing a show where I'm just like, someone's going to get really mad at Evan for this. Usually it's when he hits the vape pen, but
you can just predict both teams played hard if you want to. I'm just wanting to say
ball don't lie. Ball don't lie, Brent. I'm gonna
go Atlanta 112, Cleveland 109.
Wow, that was specific. I don't even have a score.
I don't have a score.
Cover the line. Cover the line, boys.
I'm gonna go Cavs.
Oh, Chris is the company man. Okay. Interesting. Okay.
I don't feel good about that. And
it's a role reversal from our last episode, and I was super high on the Cavs with the Nets loss.
I think it's defensible to pick the Cavs. I'm not going to. I think the Hawks are the better team, and I think playing it on the road does genuinely scare me because they have one road win over a even decent team in 3.5 months. I'm not exaggerating. One, and they beat the Hornets, who are barely a decent team. So, like, they don't really have a good road win since December. And by the way, it was against Cleveland in December.
Here's the thing, though. Unless Jared Allen plays and looks like Jared Allen, and again, no idea. The Cavs, if they are at all what they've been like of late, are not even a decent team.
No, let me say this. This is not picking on the Cavs. If Allen doesn't play, it will be, in my mind, a disappointment if the Hawks lose. If Allen does play and looks like Jared Allen, then it becomes like a coin flip ish kind of game for me. I still pick the Hawks because they have the best player, but I think it's defensible if Allen is Allen to think the Cavs are going to win the game. If Allen doesn't play, the Cavs could still win. I'm not saying they couldn't, but like I think just team quality wise, the Hawks where they are right now versus the Allenless Cavs is a fairly significant gap in my mind.
Yeah. Can't wait for this one. It's going to be a fun night. Everyone, check out Locked On Hawks. If you haven't already, for listening to Locked On Hawks, check out Locked On Cavs.
Absolutely.
And leave 5-star ratings and reviews if you haven't. Go get Brad to 1,000 YouTube subscribers right now.
Jeez, I put a call out today, bro, that said trying to get to 900 by tip-off on Friday. We're just trying to get there. That's all. It's important. As you guys know, the higher-ups are always like, hey, YouTube subscribers and listens and watches. So subscribe to on YouTube. Please do that. Yeah. Thank you.
Please do. Evan and I, Evan and I will be back on Saturday after the Cavs, after whatever happens. Again, Brad, when's your next pod coming?
As soon as the game is over, I will be trying to record a podcast. So it will be happening Friday into Saturday.
Yeah. Yes. We will have some good things. Everyone, have a good weekend. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the night. If you're in Cleveland and you're going downtown, be safe out there and maybe take public transit. We'll talk to you again.
If you haven't been to the game, come say hey.
Yeah, please do. Don't be weird. We're nice guys. Talk to you later.
Just don't be weird. Yeah, just say hey. How's it going?